Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Like to welcome you again to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. On this program, President Obama establishes the Beaumont Paul Women's Equity National Monument, Equality National Monument. Whoa, I almost missed that. The CBS and Turner Broadcasting ink a deal for 16 more NCAA tournaments at about $1.1 billion per season. That should be something interesting to talk about. And Uber says it gave U.S. agencies data on more than 12 million users. And also in entertainment, the NWA has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, although they weren't able to perform, but we have that. This week in court and much more. So I want to welcome you again onto the program. Our calling number tonight is area code 323-693-3038. That's area code 323-693-3038. Now, if this is your first time joining us, this is our weekly news wrap-up show where we just kind of do a summary of news for the week. And if you want to call in and join us or hit us up in chat, hey, feel free. Maybe something that we didn't cover or didn't talk about that you want to hear about, feel free to email us at news@sciencesoulofsyracuse.com, and maybe we'll talk about it on the next show or we'll talk about it on this show. Now, before I get started, I just want to say to my brother Loki, I don't think I said happy birthday to Loki. So Loki, when he's on the show or if he's online, you know, hit one on your line, we'll bring you in. But Brother Loki has a birthday this month. Also, we have Brother Sean from Syracuse. And while I'm at this, Brother Courtney, if you're listening, sorry I didn't make the event today, but I want to make sure I give a shout-out to Brother Courtney and all the work that you are putting in. Also, Reggie, Coach Pickard, is happy birthday, Mrs. Birthday yesterday, and Brother Seth Marcel birthday this month. And, you know, Claudia Jordan, although we're not friends, she has a birthday that just passed, so just wanted to shout her out as well. See, just had to get him in if I knew him, so there you go. Now, our first story, President Obama established the Beaumont Paul Women's Equity National Monument in Washington, D.C. this week in honor of women's rights. Now, the president designated a historical Washington, D.C. home that was central to the women's rights movement, and it's now a national monument. So if you're in D.C. and you want to go see that, it's called the Beaumont Paul Women's Equality National Monument. And John Kerry, speaking of national news, you know, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, has become the first U.S. Secretary of State to travel to Hiroshima, Japan, since the atomic bomb was dropped in 1965. Now, he toured the Peace Museum with other G7 representatives. And here's the thing. Although he did that, and that was big news this week, John Kerry is the first Secretary of State that has over a million travel miles while he was Secretary of State. He wasn't even He wasn't even there for the whole two terms, and he's our most traveled Secretary of State in the history of this country. So John Kerry in the Obama administration is putting in a lot of work, and I know the next person who takes office is going to take credit for it, but, hey, let history show that the Obama administration has been working when they got there, being that our Congress hasn't been helping them, so we won't even mention that part. Also, the president said that he will announce, and I guess by the end of the week or this upcoming week, if he's going to travel to Japan. Now, the big story about going to Hiroshima is, since it was the place that the atomic bomb was dropped, that the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on, that they, meaning the Secretary of State, John Kerry, and the president, do not plan on apologizing for dropping the atomic bomb. It was during wartime, so I'm sure that this is going to come up under a little scrutiny for some people, but I think they made it clear nobody's going to apologize for dropping the atomic bomb. Now, presidential candidate Bernie Sanders drew one of the largest crowds of nearly 30,000 people in Washington Square Park on the campus of NYU with a star-studded lineup, which included actress Rosario Dawson and actor Tim Robbins and director Spike Lee. And, you know, Sanders said that when I look out in the crowd at those thousands of people who are here tonight, the thousands of people we saw in Buffalo, Syracuse, and Rochester, I think we got a surprise for the establishment. Now, so let me go on the record in saying, you know, I know as a strategist, I get to put my credibility on the line every now and then, but the New York State race is going to be closer than people think. But just wanted to say that because the 27,000 is what the estimate is, but nearly 30,000 people showed. But with that high of a number, that is the largest crowd that's attended a political event during this campaign season. So that there has to be something to be said about the young people that are really going out and supporting Bernie Sanders, because nobody else is drawing crowds like that. Other people are drawing bitter, crazy people, but that's a whole nother story and a whole nother show. So if you've been watching sports over the last few days, the Golden State Warriors have made history. Now, Steph Curry led his team with the best regular season to the best regular season record in NBA history, reaching the landmark 73 wins. Now, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday night to reach the milestone, and beating the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls team that won 72 games. Now, Curry also became the most prolific long-range shooter in NBA history, shooting more than 400 three-pointers over a season. Now, just so that you know, the next person in history, you know, behind his 400 three-pointers is let me look in the record books. Hold on. It's Steph Curry at 286. And then behind him is another Golden State player is Thompson. Now, here's the thing. At 400 three-pointers, as great as people thought Larry Bird was, I think it took Larry Bird 6 seasons to get 400 three-pointers. Steph Curry just did it in this year. So that's how great that milestone was. And he broke his own record by more than 120 three-pointers. Not points, actual made baskets. So the accomplishment for his solo effort and that team accomplishment, whether you win the NBA title or not, you won a title and then made all those accomplishments. So you already got the title and those accomplishments. So I think the greatest team has already spoken. Whatever they do in this playoff season, hey, that doesn't throw any shade on your victory in your historical run for the Golden State Warriors. But I wanted to throw that out there as well. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, although no big Kobe fan, Kobe Bryant also on the same night had 60 points in his farewell retirement game. So it was such a big deal that, you know, he shot 50 times, but he scored 60 points, made the game-winning basket, and his last 2 points of the game was from free throws, which, ironically, when he started his NBA career at 17 years old, his first points were free throws. So there you have it. Kobe Bryant ends his career with a 60-point game. All right. Now, Twitter and the NFL has announced a deal to stream 10 Thursday night football games for free after outbidding Yahoo and Amazon. Now, Twitter has won the rights to the broadcast of Thursday night NFL games online. The deal was confirmed by Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner. Twitter outbidded a number of companies, including Verizon, Amazon, and Yahoo. So, hey, now you can watch Thursday night football. And I'm not sure if it's the regular broadcast Thursday night football that you're streaming on TV or a totally different game. They didn't specify. But if you want to see Thursday night football, it will be streaming on Twitter. Too bad I don't have a Twitter account, but we'll have to see what that's all about. I'm sure they'll have links all over the place, so there you have it. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us at area code 323-693-3038. This is our weekly summary of news and information, so I want to invite you to join us. I want to say hey to everyone that's on the line, and if you're listening on our archives, we are live every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call in and listen, or you can go to www.soulofsyracuse.com. Well, let's do this a different way. You can go to www.espriradio.soulofsyracuse.com. You can listen to the live show, or you can check out some of the shows in the archives. I'm sure there are some things out there that you didn't hear before. Just wanted to put that out there. Now, Wells Fargo agreed to pay $1.2 billion in a settlement for failing to disclose its faulty loans to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Now, the Department of Justice announced the settlement, and as Wells Fargo admitted that it hit loans from HUD and contributed to the housing crash of 2008. Now, HUD Secretary Julianne Castro said that the $1.2 billion settlement with Wells Fargo is the largest recovery for loan origination violations in FHA history. Yet, this monetary figure can never truly make up for the countless families that lost their homes as a result of poor lending practices. So, again, the Obama administration is still collecting and they're still getting it done. So, you know, you better watch out because there's more prosecutions on the way before they get out of here. Now, the cost of mailing a letter dropped for the first time in 97 years on Sunday, but the Postal Service is still fighting the decision, saying that it'll cost them $2 billion in lost revenue. Now, the price for sending mail will drop between 1 and 5 cents, or has dropped between 1 and 5 cents. That's the first in 97 years, but the U.S. Postal Service says that that massive revenue loss, you know, they can't make up someplace else. So Congress regulates how much, or regulates those deals that the post office make. At the same time, the United States Post Office is not funded by the United States government. I know it's sick. I think it was George Bush that kind of did this to the post office, trying to privatize the post office. So the post office has a big deficit because of the money that they have to put in pension up in their pension accounts up front. Unnecessary, but they make them do it, and they made it law. So hopefully the president can give us a, I guess, one of those presidential, not a pardon, I can't think of what it's called, but, you know, just kind of do something presidential and make it a rule that they don't have to do that. But Congress has to act to stop the post office from hemorrhaging. So this $2 billion in lost revenue is problematic just because they can't make up that revenue anyplace else. So there you have it. But if the president decides to do you know, to do something. I'm not sure that he can, because the United States Post Office is kind of, all the funds actually go through Congress. So we're not sure that he can, you know, just kind of do a quick, you know, signing of the pen and, you know, making a new law or something. But, hey, something has to be done. I'm sure none of the presidential candidates are talking about this, but there you go. Goldman Sachs is to pay over $5 billion in fines and compensation over its sale of its mortgage-backed securities leading up to the financial crisis. Now, the Justice Department has announced a $5 billion settlement with Goldman Sachs over the sale of mortgage-backed securities leading up to that crisis. Again, so Wells Fargo, $1.2 billion, another $5 billion for Goldman Sachs. And so if you're wondering why the Obama administration has money and the Treasury has money and we're down $1 trillion from our deficit, it's because they're out collecting where other administrations wouldn't do. So shout out to the Obama administration, because I won't get to do that much, and I know I haven't done that on the program, but you're appreciated on this side of the fence because, hey, we do news. So there you have it. Now, hotels and resorts worldwide, Inc. and Marriott International said that the stockholders of both companies voted to approve Marriott's acquisition of Starwood to create the world's largest hotel company. Now, the deal has cleared the pre-merger antitrust review in the United States and Canada, but it awaits the European Union and China. But again, the Marriott Corporation will be the biggest or the largest hotel company in the world if they can get a hold of Starwood. So we'll have to see how that goes. Starwood is more international, I think, than Marriott, but Marriott International does have a lot of hotels. Now, tourists in Japan will now be able to pay for goods with their fingerprints as the country prepares a trial innovative scheme. Now, it's set to be tested this summer. Visitors to Japan will have their identities verified, and then they'll be able to buy things from shops with a flash of their finger when their card details have been approved. So I guess you're going to use your card and then give them a fingerprint, and then you can go different places and then just use your fingerprint and actually charge to your card. I'm not sure I'm liking that, but hey, you know, there's technology. Everybody wants to do something new. So now Japan has fingerprint technology. There you have it. I don't know what to say about it, but okay, I don't know how necessary that is. Now, veteran actor and founder of the Tribeca Film Festival came under fire after he announced that the Tribeca Film Festival would screen Vaxxed from cover-up to catastrophe. Now, if you don't know who this veteran actor is, this veteran actor is Robert De Niro. Now, if you don't know this story, because we did the story on the show before, so Robert De Niro had is co-creator of Tribeca Film Festival. The movie Vax talked about vaccinations and the harm that vaccinations are doing, and it was an independent film that was premiering at Tribeca, where other external multi-billion-dollar corporation folks were lobbying to take it out because of the science. Although, again, you can judge for yourself. It's a movie, and but it's a documentary. So Robert De Niro just came out today, and he insisted that he was not anti-vaccine, but he was pro-safe vaccine, as he admitted part of him regretted taking that movie out. Now, the 72-year-old said that he made the decision as he did not want the backlash to affect the film festival, but insisted that the movie is something that people should see. So if you get a chance to see this, it is called Vax, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. And, you know, Robert De Niro reversed his decision after he took it out, but he said it's not that he doesn't want people to see it. he just didn't want to take it from the film festival, and I think it's kind of the sponsors and all that other stuff. Probably were pressing that guy way too much, but there you have it. Now, Texas teenager Ethan Couch, who killed 4 people and injured 9 in a drunk driving crash, will spend another 2. Well, he'll spend 2 years in jail. Now, Couch, who turned 19 on Monday, appeared before a judge as an adult, and they were hearing the new details of his probation. Right, that's why he was supposed to go to court, and Couch will now go straight back to jail, to the Lone Evans Correctional Facility. It's a maximum security lockup. Now, what happened is, once he escaped and ran to Mexico, violating his probation, the judge said that he would not make a ruling and that he would schedule a ruling later, and he did not schedule another ruling. He gave him 2 years for probation violation, but he's not serving time for killing 4 people because he had affluenza. But he dyed his hair, went someplace else, and the prosecution did really fight for him to get resentenced because he was not a minor anymore when he violated his probation. But it didn't happen. He still has to, he's still serving time for violating his terms of his probation. But he will go back to this maximum security lockup, and but they had him in solitary confinement for his own safety. So we don't know if he'll be locked up in solitary for his whole 2 years, but we'll see how that goes. I'm sure he'll probably get transferred. You haven't heard that from me. Now, NWA has been inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in New York. The group are just the 5th hip-hop group to be voted into the Hall, having been nominated 3 times previously. Now, founding member O'Shea Jackson, or Ice Cube, said that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not conforming to the people who came before you, but creating your own path in music and in life. We have come a long way from being hated in the industry to making it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We are rock and roll. You damn right, we are rock and roll. And that's end quote from Ice Cube from NWA. Now, Ice Cube and the rest of the Dr. Dre, Andre Young, and Lorenzo, I can't remember Ren's last name, and DJ Yella, but those guys did not get a chance to perform at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame playing it safe. So you can't induct somebody and then get scared that they're going to perform. That just, something's wrong with that. So there you go, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame being suckers. Just wanted to put that out there. All right, now, the number of big cats in the world, in the wild, has risen for the first time in more than a century. Now there is 3,890 tigers, according to the latest official count. I didn't know they had one. And that's up from 3,200 in 2010, when the last worldwide estimate was made. Now, if you don't know, the majority of big cats and tigers and all that stuff, they live in India. I'm just delivering the news. I don't know, have any firsthand knowledge of this stuff. All right, now Uber gave federal agencies information on more than 12 million riders and drivers last year. The global rideshare giant released the figures in its first transparency report following a trend from technology companies related to disclosure of customer data. Now, the vast majority of the request of the 368 came from state authorities, and 47 came from federal officials. So again, 12 million riders and the drivers have been researched for police. Now, I don't know what to say about this, but when you start giving people your Uber driver now, you give them your information, you're leaving a big record. So don't just think that you're just jumping in Uber and it's anonymous. They're keeping track of you. Just wanted to throw that in there. And while we're talking about keeping track, you know, cosmetics could soon be used to track you. Now, a CIA funds beauty firms that make facial gels capacity capable to collect your DNA. Now, the CIA's venture capital arm, NQTAL, has provided funding for a San Francisco-based beauty firm, Skincitel Sciences, according to the documents obtained. And they're saying that this arm is creating cosmetics that literally is going to collect your DNA once you put the powder on and whether you take it off. So if they collect your cosmetic case, you're going to start leaving DNA on it, which you probably do anyway, but this is a little bit more disturbing in news, but I just thought I'd share that. Now, the Texas Attorney General has been indicted for allegedly duping investors in a startup company, and the Agriculture Commissioner reportedly used tax dollars to travel to obtain so-called Jesus shot, supposedly offering a long-term relief to pain. So far, fellow Republicans are all but ignoring the troubles because the attorney in Paxton, who has been charged with the two felonies, and the Agriculture Secretary Sid Miller, who last year unapologetically shared a Facebook post that he suggests that using a nuclear bomb on Muslim population, like, he pretty much went off the rail, and he still coasted to an election in 2014 as a part of the GOP's new leadership. And other Republicans who won that year, including the governor, have all of these other suspicions on them. So this is interesting, but Texas Attorney General has been indicted, but he has not been fired. So we'll have to see how this story kind of takes off. Now, Snapchat's picture, which appears to show a girl in blackface while dressed as Tupac, has sparked outrage in a Texas high school. Speaking of Texas, now the girl, who had not been identified but is believed to be a sophomore at Lamar High School in Houston. I think I know some people who are alumni of Lamar, so I'll start making some calls a little later. But she's wearing a Tupac T-shirt and leading to some to believe that she painted on blackface to dress up as, you know, the late artist or, you know, actor and music artist Tupac. Now, Houston Independent School District said this. They would not be taking any action against the girl because the event was off campus and not affiliated with the school. But I am sure she's going to have some problems next time she goes back to school. But the interesting thing about the whole story was there were people in her school defending her, saying, hey, it was not that offensive to everybody else at the party and all of this good stuff, but I don't think that's going to work. If you're not sensitive, you shouldn't even be sensitive. This is not a politically correct issue, but I just want to tell you something so for you guys who are European, is that it is not up to you what's offensive to other people. You might want to teach that to the school-age kids before, you know, they start to run into some problems with their peers. Because that is just not cool. But here we go. Let's see how this is going to work out. It happens all the time. So, and plus, we're coming up on graduation season, so we'll have to see how that's going to work out. Now, a New York bill could give the police access to people's phones after car crashes to crack down on texting and driving, as supporters insist that it would not violate privacy. But New York lawmakers have introduced a bill that would allow police to access the phone records and determine whether they were texting while they were behind the wheel. Now, the ACLU and other organizations are saying that they should not be able to do that. It still is against the law to look at somebody's phone without a warrant. But unless they pass this law, they're going to say, oh, no, we were just looking to see if you were texting. But if they find something else on there, I'm sure they'll use that against you. One foot in the door, give you an excuse to do some other things. So just wanted to share that. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can also call in and join us, area code 323-693-3038. You are listening to our weekly news summary or wrap-up, however we like to say that today. And if you want to catch us in the archives, in case you missed it from before, it is espryradio.soulofsyracuse.com. And again, you can always find some news. And like my girl Lucy Abreu says, it's news you need to know. You can always find some news you need to know in any of our broadcasts. So just check it out. And again, if you want to send us a note, letter, whatever, you can email us at news@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, ex-cop convicted of molesting a 9-year-old female relative, good Lord, drinks poison as the court reads him his guilty verdict. Now, I guess it's Kellis Laurie, I guess is the guy's name. He's 58, from Stone Mountain, Georgia, was treated for poison after he drank an unknown liquid from an over-the-counter vitamin bottle in DeKalb County on Thursday. And so it's interesting, now he can't take it as he is convicted for molesting a 9-year-old female relative. Now, a mother and her son enjoyed relations. I'll just put it that way because, you know, we don't know who's listening at work. They go into hiding as police say that they can face 15 years in jail. Now, Kim West, who's 51, and her son, Ben Ford, who's 32, now live in Michigan in the U.S., they revealed that their relationship through a newspaper story. But when the pair, you know, authorities was aware of the relationships, now the police is now looking for them. The pair are now hiding from authorities because they became aware of their relationship. Now, the story goes, he was adopted when he was little. She didn't know it. They met later, and the woman says then they were attracted to each other. I just wanted to say this in our sick news category. That's what happened. But anyway, it's in Michigan. If you want to look up the story, you can read it. It's a little too sick for me to go into much detail. Now, a mother of four, substitute teacher, 38, was accused of having a relationship with a 17-year-old student in the family home and using Nichols, who's 38, an Indiana substitute teacher, is accused of having improper relationships with students on multiple occasions and is being held in county court under the child seduction charges. Now, police says Nichols was a Mount Vernon middle school teacher aide, lifeguard, and a substitute teacher, but she used social media to find high school students in the same school system where she worked. She is alleged to have had a relationship with a 17-year-old in her own home. So, again, here we go. Now, while I'm on those news stories, because I know sometimes I miss these, so I'm just trying to catch everyone up on what's going on in the world of crazy. So Sarah Domries, 28, appeared in Wisconsin court on Friday and pled not guilty to charges that she had a relationship with a 16-year-old student. Now, the former English teacher is accused of having sex with one of her students 10 to 15 times over the past year while she was planning her wedding. Now, on one occasion, the investigators say that Domries and the boy went to a Motel 6 when her husband-to-be had a bachelor party. So Domries was fired from her job and arrested when one of the boy's concerned friends reported their relationship to police. Now, police obtained more than 1,000 text messages between the two in which the teacher calls her student by a pet name. Not going to say what it is. And it's not that bad. I just don't like saying pet names. And she faces up to 12 years in prison and $20,000 fine if convicted on the two counts of sexual assault of a student. This happens a lot in this country, apparently. So a Colorado woman pled guilty to sexual assault for her 1-year-old son over Skype while a New York PD sergeant gave directions. Now, Kira Norton, 43, pled guilty to disturbing child pornography at Brooklyn Federal Court this week. Now, she is one of several women who allegedly abused young children off camera to satisfy Roberto Randazzo. Now, I don't know if he's working undercover or he just happened to be a sergeant who was doing that too, and I don't know if he was arrested, but that was the NYPD sergeant who was involved. Now, an Oklahoma couple was arrested over a disappearance of their nephew, who was 9 years old, who went 9 years old when he went missing 10 years ago. Now, Colton Clark disappeared on April 20th, 2006. The arrest warrant for Rex and Rebecca Clark alleged first-degree murder and child abuse and neglect. At the time that they told police, Colton had ran away from home, but come to find out, they lied. That's all I can really say. Now, Toyota and Microsoft has teamed up to track your cars. Now, connected vehicles will reveal the driver's driving habits, destination, and more. Now, the new venture called Toyota Connect will be based in Plano, Texas, and will focus on the connecting cars to each other, as well as telematics features, I guess, that will learn and anticipate the driver's habits. So if you like being tracked and traced, that system is for you. But Toyota and Microsoft is now putting computers in your cars to kind of track your driving habits and destination and other things. So, you know, you have speakers in there. So we're not saying that your speaker isn't on and somebody's not kind of checking that thing out. But, hey, just doing the news. Now, a new app called Yes to Sex has made the market. It aims to ensure that both parties have agreed before having any kind of relationship, getting on with the deed. Now, the free app will record verbal consent, including safe words and agreed upon protection. So if you are interested, I guess that application is hitting the market. If you want to go check it out, it is called, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying that. It's called Yes to Sex app. Now, I didn't make this up. It just kind of is that for today. Now, again, I want to remind you, you listen to ESPNet News on ESPN Radio. You know, you can always catch us here at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to check out the show, if you missed the programming, hey, you can always check us out in the archives. We're there at espnradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, I know we went through this story last week with former President Bill Clinton criticizing Black Lives Matter, but it's interesting, again, on a new note, that social media has picked up and released some of the statements and fact-checked some of the things that the former president said about, you know, black leaders going approaching him, saying that they wanted them to do something about black people during the time of, you know, high drug times and gang violence. But what those what they actually showed in the archives was black leaders or Congressman John Lewis and former Congressional Black Caucus president or leader at the time, Kwasi Nfume, all disagreeing with President Clinton, while President Clinton and former Speaker, or the guy who resigned as former Speaker, Newt Gingrich, they all used the procedural maneuver to get around the Black Caucus, so they didn't view the crimes bill, the 1995 crimes bill, before it went up for vote. So also, we had one congressman this week come out and say that he apologizes to the black community for signing or for approving that legislation, because they were promised that the Congressional Black Caucus, that they would fix anything that was wrong inside of it, and gave them their word that those provisions will not adversely affect the black community, and they never changed them. Didn't see that coming, but no. Did nothing to make corrections or to make it better. So here we go again. But so the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, that thing was signed by Bill Clinton, and he said that he regretted signing it at the same time that he says that he did that to help the black community. Okay, I'm not going to go off too much more on that, but everybody that I think knows how I feel. If you don't, you know, send me a message, news@soulofsyracuse.com, and I will finish up that story to, you know, why it's not, why it wasn't cool. Now, bison that were sold in Canada more than 100 years ago will be returned to Montana in a bid to repopulate areas where the animal was hunted to nearby extinction. Now, the animals were being returned following a treaty between the U.S. and Canada aimed at restoring the bison population in the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains, where millions once roamed. You know, give me a home where the buffalo roam. Well, apparently they've been hunted way too much, and we sold a herd to Canada 100 years ago, but the descendants of that exact herd will now be coming back to repopulate the United States. So I just wanted to give you a little good news about something that was happening in our nice society of keeping the environment friendly. There you have it. Now, you know, presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has visited the Onondaga Nation. Now, usually presidential candidates do stay away from Native American nations, but this time he actually went to the Onondaga Nation and met with Chief Lyons and a couple of other people. No one released what they actually talked about, but when I find out, next time I talk to the chief, I'll ask and I'll report back to you. So stay tuned for that. But it's good to see that presidential candidates are listening to people. Oh, I'm sorry, just one is. All right, so I know they're in the debate tonight and all of that good stuff. But again, my prediction, it's going to be a lot closer than people giving it credit for. But hey, I'm not backing anybody at this moment. We'll have to see how this goes. Now, you know, while I'm at this, you know, the modern women are less confident than their mothers were at the same age, having 50% more negative thoughts about their body image and happiness. This is according to a new study. So modern women are less confident than their mothers and than their mothers were at the same age. And this is according to a new study by Weight Watchers. They say, hey, young women have 9 negative thoughts per day and older women have 6. I didn't just make that up. That's coming from somebody else's study. There you have it. You're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. We will definitely check you out next week. Make sure you join us. Area code 323-693-3038. You can always call. You can always leave us a message in chat. I want to say hey to everybody who's on the line, and thanks for joining us. You can always hit 1 on your line if you want to come into the program anytime, depending on where we are in the news cycle. We'll see what we can do for you. But I just want to thank you for tuning in and remind you that we will be here next week, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you again next week.